Very good. Welcome to the Fed Report technical market call for June 5th, 2025. Not a lot of changes here, but one quick note. We've got a hard stop right around 11 today. I've got an 11:30 appointment I cannot miss. So with that, let's get started. First of all, the stock indexes. We mentioned over the last week or so that we're short-term overbought and that the market should work that off. This seems to be happening. We're going sideways, and as people know with the stochastics, sideways behavior can also turn us into, a little bit of down move. But basically, we don't have any problems with the trading now. Obviously, there's resistance at 600 on the spider. We're testing it. We should pull back from here a little bit. This is pretty much what we're looking for. Also, remember that the stochastic recycle that will set off the summer rally we're looking for doesn't have to be in the popular averages. It can be in IWM or in XTN as well. So we're looking at all those things. But so far, no surprises. Things are trading pretty well. We'd like to see this thing have a little bit more downside. But everything is going along as we expected. And we think that by the end of next week, the market should be set to rally into the July-August time period. Let's talk about bonds for just a quick minute. We have no changes. Rates should come down into July, and TLT has been weaker than we expected, but should rally now, and we are trying to start a rally here, so that seems to be going along about as we expected as well. In the commodities, certainly oil has ended its negative seasonality going into June here with the June contract rollover. USO is trying to come off the bottom. In fact, it has come off the bottom rather neatly and should rally a bit more. Again, remember that President Trump and his administration want lower oil and gasoline prices, so there is a headwind, but nonetheless, we should see some more advance here. Let's talk about gold because there are a couple of interesting things on gold here. First of all, the daily stochastic on GLD is up and overbought. We did have a recycle at the last low, and it has rallied. As long as GLD can stay above 302, the trend is up. But there is one development going on here that is interesting, and that is we are seeing an advance in silver. When you get these advances in silver, they can often occur right at the very end of a big up move in gold. If you want to look at charts of GLD and SLV to see how that can work, please go back and look at 2011, the Greek currency crisis. Everything was fine with gold until silver took off on a tear. That was the end of that move. So we're monitoring SLV to see how that goes. We have had increased accumulation in GLD, and that's a positive, but really still not enough to justify prices up here. We should get a pullback in this area. Of course, we've been wrong about that over the last few months, having basically sold our GLD in March. Nothing changed on international markets. EEM trading well. China is trading a little bit better. This is something we expected. But no real changes there. And no more real commentary from me directly. Let's bring Jeff on, if Jeff is around, and see if Jeff has anything for us. Sorry about the little bit truncated time at 11, but have to do it. So, Jeff, are you here?
I am here.
Good.
How are you?
I am functioning at a decent level, given the fact that Amy is on a 420-mile bike ride for 8 days, and I've got four dogs that I'm taking care of. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you might put in as many miles as she puts in then.
Well, the difference is I'm walking, and it's on my schedule. It's not I have to ride 80 miles a day for 7 days or whatever the hell she's doing.
Exactly. Okay. So first question is, Russell at 210. Do we think we can get through it, or is that going to be another stopping point?
You know, Jeff, the thing that's really interesting here is that IWM, assuming it can hold 195, has got a literally perfect head and shoulders bottom on it with a higher right shoulder, especially if you turn your chart into a line chart. So the upshot on that is, yes, I think it can
members
get
coming
through
up
210 and head for 225 to 230. And the mid-caps have the same formation, and oddly enough, so do the transports. So I think there's an excellent chance we're going to see those three indexes rally in the summer rally that we're looking for.
Okay, that sounds good. Sorry about that. I had my squawk thing on, which is now off. I had it on a different computer this morning. My next question for you is, if we look back at the month of May, FXI had a pretty bad month relative to all other international equities. So what do we make of that?
You know, that is trying to recover, and what the real thing to look at here, I think, is if you look at a monthly chart of FXI, it basically held the support at 30. It's still a base. And that's sort of what I think is going on here in terms of the recovery in China. What's really interesting about this to me, which I think bodes well for China, is the internet, like KWEB and PGJ ETFs on China, are actually performing a little bit less robustly than FXI. And that means that some of the old line companies in China are doing a bit better. And that bodes well for me for the Chinese economy. That says things are starting to recover there, and that's actually going to be, this has the potential to be a decent market going forward over the next year. Now, the question obviously is, or I should say that begs the question, you know, are we going to see favorable trade resolution here? I think we will. I think the trade impasse that they're having is, you know, I think everyone knows that China has had an advantage over the U.S. and has been dumping. The question is, how do you resolve that? And I think they're going to try to resolve that in a favorable way, is what the markets are saying.
Okay. Okay. And then TLT had a pretty good day yesterday. Do you think that gets us kind of away from having to worry about a test of 85 now?
Yes, I do, Jeff. Believe it or not, we have had a weekly recycle on TLT, something which I only noticed yesterday afternoon. So this should hit at least 90 to 92 and possibly 95, 96 by July. In other words, this looks like it should rally. Now, you know, obviously the caveat to that is, Jeff, that I have been waiting for this rally. It's taking longer than it should have. But that, I think, really is saying not that we're not going to have the rally. I think we're going to have the rally. The question is, what happens when that rally is over? And that's been the big concern. Jeff, I'm going to go into this just for a minute because I talked to a client about this, and apparently from what that client said, I have not made this really clear. Bonds have a very strong tendency to make a low in, and that's a low in price and a high in rates, in August. In October. Okay? So obviously, we have to look for a rally to get everything overbought in before October so they can come down. They don't just come down without the indicators supporting them coming down. which tells me, given the way the weekly buy signals on TLT have worked, that if we do get a weekly sell recycle in July, August, which would make sense given where the weekly is now and the amount of weeks it's going to take us to get to July, August, that would then set us up for at least the possibility of a cycle low in October. And since that happens more often than not, that becomes a very high-risk period for us at the end of July and into August. Because if rates really are going to have the spike that we have been so concerned about, that's the best time this year to have that. Okay, down into August, down into October after a peak in July, August. So that's what we're looking for.
I'm going to ask a question. So this morning we got another cut from the European Central Bank, okay? Most central banks around the world are cutting, yet we cut last year three times, have stopped. I don't see how we go up that much when the rest of the world is in cutting mode. Would you agree with that, or do you think that, like, it's just an anomaly? And maybe that's the way it's going to play out.
You know, Jeff, one of the advantages of being a technician is that sometimes things that don't make really good sense happen if the charts say that they're going to happen. You know, this rise in rates that I've been so concerned about, obviously it's in long rates, first of all, which the Fed has less control over. And B, it's by no means assured. And boy, I hope I'm wrong. Right?
Right.
But, yeah, I nobody, certainly not me, wants an 8 to 10% 30-year yield. Right? It won't do any of us on the call any good to have that unless you've got some bond money waiting to go in.
Yeah.
Right? But the charts say that that risk is still there.
Yep.
Right? And, you know, again, that old joke, the stock market has predicted 9 of the past 4 recessions, right? Don't know how this is going to work out. All I can say is, you know, Jeff, when and I'm a firm believer in this, if you make a forecast that the technical indicators don't support, that forecast has a much higher chance of being wrong than one that the technical indicators support.
Right.
So, yeah, and I think you and I would both agree on that. You and I have worked together long enough, I mean, since the 90s, really, at Robinson Humphrey, that you know that, at least from my perspective, that makes sense, and you see that it does happen that way a lot of the time. So I guess what I'm saying is, let's take some just technical factors here. The Zweig breadth thrust says that the market should be higher, you know, at the end of the year. Okay? And we believe that, and our other indicators say that. But if we get overbought and we have a spike in bonds, it doesn't mean we can have another intra-year correction that's gnarly. And we have to watch out for that.
Okay. That definitely makes sense. Just one stock I want to ask you about. Kind of a monumental event happened for this company. They were allowed back into the deep end of the pool, so to speak. That's Wells Fargo, with how the Fed came out and kind of took them off of being in the penalty box since 2018. So I wonder what you think about that chart, given that that happened. It's such a monumental event. And does the chart validate that this thing now could finally have a pretty big run to it? I think it's very interesting that it took them 7 years, you know, for the Fed to move them out after all the shenanigans and stuff that they were doing, so to speak.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, obviously the stock gapped up yesterday on that and the selling off. I do think that this stock can have a decent rally here, but I want to wait and see If we can get a buy recycle or some stabilization and before that happens. But I would be looking at buying Wells Fargo on dips. I think it's underowned relative to some of the other banks. And banks still look, and financials themselves still look much stronger going into July, August than not.
Okay.
So I want to be looking at all of that fairly carefully.
I mean, Fred, I'll tell you another reason that I like it within our stuff is that the Erlanger short intensity on this thing is 97%, and
wow.
It's not a high short ratio, but it shows the short ratio is only 2.43 days. But the deal is, it shows us on a relative basis, lots of people are betting against the stock. And to me, with this event now underway, it's kind of like I really wonder if they're going to revisit still being short this stock. And, and if they continue to fight it, that would be even better as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and Jeff, you know, the other thing that may be going on here, and this just occurred to me, you've got a much better look at this than I do, but, you know, this could be a pair trade, right? Short Wells Fargo, long J.P. Morgan or something like that.
Yep.
And if that's the case, and one half of their pair trade, is not going to work, that could not only spark a rally in Wells Fargo, but also a rally in the banks, which is something we have been looking for.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, that's it for me right now.
Good. Let's see if we can get some questions here. Again, I'm a little sorry about the rush here. So, questions.
Hey, good morning, Fred.
Hey, man, what's up?
All right, so it looks like Tesla pulled a head fake on us. I came down, actually, almost to that gap now. So how does that look here?
You know, I would be looking to try to buy that thing at the support around 300 to 298. If it were to hold that area and rally, the intermediate chart would actually be even more attractive in some respects than it is. And the daily chart is very close to a recycle. I would give that a chance to do that recycle, and then I would look at buying the stock again. You know, we've traded that pretty well this year, and I still think, you know, if we can just trade this back and forth, 300 to 360 for a while, you know, we've done worse. So I'd be looking to get that on that recycle.
All right. A couple of little small ones. I know these are a little more difficult, but see if you can make anything out of them. CCLD, Care Cloud.
Enunciate the symbol. T as in Tom, C?
No, C like Charlie, C like Charlie, L Larry, D David.
Larry, D David. Care Cloud. Okay. You know, you've got support that it hit just above one. Yeah, this doesn't, I mean, this is not the sort of stock that I would recommend, but it looks like it's an uptrend and it could go.
Okay. And one other one, ACBA, Alpha, Kite, Boy, Alpha.
Let me see. Let's have that symbol again.
Alpha, Kite. Boy Alpha, ACBA.
Right, Boy Alpha. Ah. You know, obviously, nicely overextended on the daily. It's not a bad chart, and your next resistance really comes in at 5. So
okay.
You should stay with this to at least 5.
All right. Perfect. All right, that's all I got for today. Appreciate it.
Cool. Other questions?
Hey, Fred. John Niebling.
John.
Just two of them. Dutch Bros, BROS.
I just love that symbol. That reminds me of a real funny thing that happened. If you want to hear, email me and I'll call you afterwards. But, you know, the stock is basically, you know, working its way up. I think you're going to get at least 81 on it. And again, this is one of those names that if you want to hold this through July, I would have absolutely no problem doing. It's in good shape.
All right, good. Last one, Rocket Lab, RKLB as in Bravo.
And again, if I could type, I would be a dangerous, dangerous person. That looks like it's probably going to see a little bit of pullback to, say, 25 or so, and then you could get a rally. If that daily stochastic can recycle, I would do it. The stock is a hold because, again, the market could go at any time. But, frankly, I would buy a recycle in this. I'd hold it, and much above 31, I'd just go ahead and buy it.
All right. Thanks, Fred. That's all I got for you.
Okay, John. Other questions? Got to have at least
one more.
Hey there. How you doing? Is that Scott?
Very well. Thank you. Let's see. Pan American Silver, PAAS. I'm long, just targets or whatever.
Look for 35 quickly.
Okay. Alpha George, First Majestic.
I'd sell that probably here, but again, I'm expecting a nice big run in silver before everything collapses. But I would sell that between here and 9. This is acting. You know, if it goes through 9, you probably got 15 to 20 on it. But it doesn't look to me like it's going to do that.
So PHYS is the physical silver.
That looks terrible compared to silver.
It is.
I would love to know why that is, but I wouldn't own that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the gold silver, PSLV, Sprott Silver. My mistake.
Yeah, I got into it with a wholesaler from Sprott because he was showing me their uranium ETF, and I asked if you could take physical delivery of the uranium. Guy looked at me.
A glowing response.
What kind of an idiot are you?
What do you think on PSLV?
That looks like it can get to 13.
Okay. Paul Tango Alpha. This is a gold and some rare earth play.
Yeah. You've got... This is a wacky one. But you've got resistance, enough resistance at 21, 22 that at least look at it there, and then 25, 24 actually.
And AMRK.
Apple, Mary, model. Robert, cool cigarettes. Why is that doing so badly?
I don't know.
I would not be in it.
Just punt? Okay.
Yeah, if it's not working in this environment,
true.
It's probably not going to work.
Okay, all right. What is the other one I wanted? Sorry, Palladium, P-A-L-L.
I'd stay away.
Okay. And,
platinum
Gold.
Is acting badly, too.
Yep. B, symbol B. Eric?
You know, that's a nice little base, and I would want to own it, but I believe they have hedged away most of the gain that they can get out of gold and silver. You know, this is considered to be one of the premier companies, this and gold, because of their ability to hedge, and that means it can be a problem.
the F. Frank Sam Mark. Having a good month.
It is trading decently. You've got a lot of resistance right here, though, so I would be careful between 8 and 8.5 if it starts to stall.
Okay.
I like that starts to stop. That makes sense, doesn't it?
And a spacey stock, RDW?
RDW.
Space infrastructure.
Huh, okay. You know, you've got a huge amount of resistance at 20, and it doesn't look terrible, so I would probably stay with this and see what happens at the end of July.
Great.
Or
thank
at 20.
You.
Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
You too.
Other questions? I'm surprised, by the way, that no one has asked about FNMA, Federal National Mortgage, which has pulled nicely back to support, and if that gets another buy signal, it could go.
Hey, Fred, on the TLT, do you still like TLTW as a way to play for some income?
Yeah, I do. I think, again, there's probably better ways to play for income, but the chart isn't terrible. Especially if you can hold on. The real thing to watch on TLTW is if we do get this rally into July on bonds, we need to take a look at TLTW very carefully because that might actually then start to blow up.
And look, if you could look at this one, INDI, and tell me what you think.
INDI.
Know what you'll say.
You know, above 3, you probably got a shot to 4. There's nothing really wrong with it except that it's so cheap and it's not nearly as good a chart as some of the other semis. But given that, it's trading decent.
Thanks, man.
Cool, Colin. Have a good day.
Hey, Fred. Rob in Atlanta. How you doing?
Good, Rob.
Obligatory Palantir and to a lesser extent NVIDIA and maybe the SMH kind of cover the sector as a whole.
Yeah, I still like the looks of Palantir. I think it's trading well. And actually what I really like about it now is that it's not trying to go up 10 points a day, that it's sort of working its way up and out of this little consolidation, which is usually the sign that you're going to keep going. So I'm happy with the stock, and I would stay with it. NVIDIA, you know, we sold our trading positions at 140. We kept investment positions. Those were positions we got during the when it had that nice big gap down during April, and I got it at 97 on that open. But I think the stock still has potential, and again, I'd look at all of these in July, but NVIDIA should be up into July.
Got it. Thank you. And does that, yeah, I know this is more existential, but flow through to the rest of the sector in terms of semis as a whole?
You know, it certainly should. Again, you know, the real question is, and it's something that Jeff Garbaz maybe could look at, you know, because he's got better relative charts than I do. Are we starting to see bifurcation in the semis? AVGO, for example, is trading extremely well relative to the sector, and that's one I'd want to keep my eyes on because that's a brand new multi-year breakout again. I would say it has a chance of carrying over into the sector. I would hold the sector into July.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure. Other questions? Very well. Let's say we'll go going
right,
one.
Can I get
surely,
a couple
yeah,
more?
Yeah. Absolutely. I got
Mosaic.
MOS. MOS. You know, you were around with me with Don Carson at Merrill Lynch, and I always look at these and think about, I wonder what Don is doing now. But this has got 40 written all over it, and even more important, agriculture is seasonally strong into July, so that should help the stock.
Okay. Let's see here. Albemarle, ALB.
ALB, as in bimbo. Scott, that doesn't look so groovy.
I know.
Mosaic looks better. You know, if you do not, if you break 50, Bob's your uncle, get rid of it.
Right.
And I would look very seriously at getting rid of that at a couple different prices. Let me give you just, if I were to see 77 on that, I would take it. It's got to get above 63, and then it should get to 77. And I would also look at taking that off in July.
Okay, fair enough. Lemonade, LMND.
MND. That's a hell of a name. You know, it's
software
had a nice
for insurance.
Really? Okay.
Or it should
oh, it's probably
AI
car insurance. If you get a lemon, they'll help you. Who knows?
Well played.
But it's had a nice little pullback, and it looks like you've got 42 to 43 on it, maybe 50.
Okay. Just a couple more. CELH, Celsius.
Pop up to 46, and then I'd look at it carefully, but it doesn't look terrible. I'm starting to see the damn drinks everywhere, by the way.
Yeah, it's a Delray Beach name, actually.
Huh.
Gilead, G-I-L-D.
You know, that or Amgen have been my favorite biotechs, and Gilead should rally trying to hit 118, I think, and then let's look at it. And again, let's see what happens into July.
And how about Citi?
You know, with the caveat being that that has to still be the most ill-managed bank of any bank I've ever been in.
Right.
Or worked for, maybe $80. You've got one problem here, Scott, and that is you're halfway up the first of those big down bars, and that can be where they fail. So much below 72, I would consider getting rid of that on the grounds that it's not going to do much.
And Micron, MU?
That's finally perking up and should get to one, let's say 118 to 120 by July.
Okay, last one, Alpha Sam, Tango Sam.
Alpha Sam.
Another spacey stock.
Ah, okay. And again, Alpha Sam, Tango Sam, that's not AFTS by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of resistance at 30. But again, no reason not to hold it, but it does have a lot of resistance at 30.
Thanks so much.
Cool. Have a good day.
Fred, Yogesh here.
Hey, Yogesh.
How are you?
Functional.
Very good. So, first question on FCX, Freeport, and the has done well so far. Should we buy more here?
I don't. It depends on if you have a lot of it or not. I think it can get to 44, 45. I would just probably try to sell it there.
Okay. The second one in the same area is a Mosaic. You already answered AA, the aluminum company for America.
Yeah, Alcoa.
AA.
Yeah, yep. That That actually looks like it has made a bottom. It's filled that little gap, and you should get 30 to 31 on it. Water resistance, 30 to 31. So if it gets up there, let me know. We'll look at it.
But it looks good. Three more of the stocks, if you have a minute. One is the Rare, R-A-R-E, Rare.
Rare. You've got what looks like a rally to 38 to 40, and it is trading well for a pharmaceutical.
Second one, DHR.
Dog Danaher. Harry Robert Danaher. Let me look at a longer-term chart of that. A lot of these little healthcares have had downtrends, but look like they're trying to bottom at support from 2024. You should get 199 on that, much above 199.50. You could actually see some more, but I would hold it and look for 199.
Or the Jazz, J-A-Z-Z.
That looks a little worse, but you can certainly try to get it. If it can get above 111, you've got a shot to 117, and it looks like it's going to at least challenge 111.
The last stock, the FICO, F-I-C-O.
I've always loved that name, Fair Isaac. Because I've never, a lot of people say their credit scores are not fair. What I would say on this one is you probably got to 118.20, and then I would look at it. That would be about halfway up that big down red bar.
Okay.
It does not look great, but I think you'll get that.
Okay, good. So if we want to buy it, the should we wait to buy it?
Yogesh, I would buy it now so that if it gets to 118.20, 118.30, and you decide you want to sell it, you've got some money there.
Thank you very much. It's 17.69 right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Got it.
Thank you, Fred.
Sure. Other questions?
Hey, Fred.
Yes, sir.
A couple for you, sir. Could you look at Toast, T-O-S-T?
It's held support, and you should get it to 45, 46. And again, this is one you might want to hold into July.
I mean, is that the upside for July is 45 to 46?
No, the upside could be much higher.
Okay. So it doesn't look like it's going to fill that gap that was below it.
No, if it does now, the stock is dead.
Gotcha. And what about W? What do you think of?
That's been a big Morgan Stanley recommendation, hasn't it? I have a number of Morgan Stanley guys that are interested in that, and I've been telling them all that you should get 48 to 50 and consider, and we'll look at it then.
Okay, and then
they're in mostly in the 30s.
Yeah, I watched it too long.
Okay.
What do you think the upside is on SMCI?
You know, I despise the company.
Yeah.
I think it's phony. And you'll notice that every news announcement that the company makes is something along the lines of, well, we made a mistake and everything's much worse than we think it is.
Yeah.
But given that, you should probably get 48 out of it by July.
Okay.
I'd probably beat a dead horse with this one because remember we shorted it at 100 for that third angle of ascent. Honestly, John, I don't think I'd buy this if I wasn't in it. If I was in it, I'd be happy if it got to 48, and I'd watch it very, very carefully.
Yeah, no, I'm in it, and I would like to at some point cash out of it, I think. And
have a look at 48. I think there are better stocks in this area by far. I mean, you know, I know this is going to sound sort of pathetic, but, you know, IBM even looks better than that. And IBM is still kind of stodgy. Hell, Apple is looking even better than that in some respects.
Gotcha. What are your thoughts on Wynn, WYNN?
You're in that gap. If you start to see the stock now above 88, it's probably bottomed and is going to head back up to 95, 96.
Okay.
But I would not buy it before it turns up, because if this doesn't turn up, you know, and you're very close to where you're going to get a daily recycle. So I would just be a little bit patient on that.
Yeah. Okay. And all righty. Well, thank you very much, Fred. I appreciate it.
Cool. I think we got time for one or two more questions, so let us have them.
Hey, Fred, this is Simmons. Could you look at ET?
Yeah. No, it was good seeing you at dinner the other night too, by the way.
Yeah, it was a true pleasure.
Yeah. You know, it looks fine. It shouldn't go below 17, and if it goes above 18, you should get 1880 to 19 on it. And make a note to get a hold of me if that happens. I don't think you'll want to sell it, but again, if we get into that a weak seasonal period going into the spring, or going into the fall rather, you may. But it doesn't look terrible. It looks better than a lot of these.
Okay. Can you look at a couple more, if you don't mind?
Yes, sir.
NU and FCX.
NU, which looks like it's very close to giving a buy recycle, and when it does, I would buy it and hold it into July. I don't think you've got a lot of risk here, except the risk is that it may not do anything.
And how about FCX?
You know, we still think that could get to 44, 45.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good enough. You know, what's interesting here, by the way, is SCCO still looks a little bit better than FCX to me. It's got a longer base and a nicer pattern there. And that says that copper still looks relatively groovy.
Yeah. All right, my man. Thank you.
Be safe. You guys have a good day. Give everybody my best. Tell Siebel's to say howdy to everyone for me.
All right, I'll do it.
Sure. Yes, sir.
John,
last guy.
Yes. What do you think about CRWV?
CRWV.
CRWV.
Twitter.
CRWV.
Yep. Oh, Blastol. Okay. Let's try this again. CRWV as in Victor. CoreWeave.
CoreWeave, yeah. Just.
Yeah. You know, it's still up, and, you know, the main thing is much below 131, because it's a little bit overextended, you've got problems. But if you're willing to risk 131, you can try it.
Okay. Now, already in it. Thanks.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see, one other question, and then I'm going to probably have to head out for my appointment. I'm sorry about that. I couldn't do anything about the appointment today. But if there's one other question, we'll happily take it.
I'll give you a quick one, Fred. WBD.
WBD as in dog. Warner Brothers. You know, I've been wondering about this stock for a while, and if it can get through 10, you probably have a shot to 11. I think they kind of have a lot of debt. Is that right?
Yeah, the big thought is that if they break up the company, the parts could be worth a lot more than the whole.
Oh, okay. All I can say is it's trading okay for the first time in a while. I haven't felt like it was really nervous, mostly because that downtrend from April of 2023 has finally broken.
Okay. Thank you, as always.
You're welcome, Steve. You have a normal day.
You too.
Got it, bro. Very good. Let's. If there's no other questions, if there's something really important, you know, 5 more minutes isn't going to kill me. Otherwise, though, I should probably make like broccoli and floor it. By the way, someone on an airplane told me he'd never heard that one before. I invented that years and years ago. I made the guy really happy. So are there any other questions that I can do? And, of course, I will be around this weekend. Any emailed questions I will answer.
Fred, this is Colin again. Could you just look at two big ETFs and just tell me what you think comparatively? XLG, yeah, which is the mega caps, FVD, which is the value line dividend ETF.
You know, what's the yield on the value line one?
Question. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's not worry about it. You know, given that
2.5%.
It looks to me, good, yeah, given that it looks to me like we've got at least a shot of mid-caps and small-caps starting to go here after these head and shoulders patterns complete themselves, I would probably go with the dividend ETF as opposed to XLG. It's a little riskier, but you're getting paid 2.5% to take the risk, so I would give that one a shot.
So dividends look okay here?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple in my own portfolio that I'm not doing anything with at all except holding. They're trading okay. Cool.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Colin. Everybody, I'm going to unfortunately have to go and truck out of here. I've got about a half an hour drive to get to my 11:30. We'll say going once, going twice. Very well. This will end the Fred Report technical market call for June 5th, 2025. And everybody have a good day. And as I say, I'll be around this weekend for any emailed questions.